Isaiah chapter 4, number 14. I'm actually going to go along with the theme of today. Preacher told me to just go ahead and do that for today. We have Roaring Lion Sunday, and we're going to talk about the devil a little bit today and just expose some of the things that he is. So just hopefully it'll help you recognize when the devil is trying to work some in circumstances in your life. So we'll look at some things today about that. Isaiah chapter number 14, let's look at verse number 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into this morning's lesson. Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning. Lord, there's a lot of teachers right now preparing to teach to this morning about your adversary, the devil, Lord, and I pray that we would be able to learn some things this morning also from your word. Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, help my train of thought, and pray that you just help the morning service, Lord. I know there's a lot of visitors here today, and I pray that souls will be saved, and we'll give you praise and glory for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, you don't have to turn there this morning, but it talks about the devil being as a roaring lion, and the devil's a lot of things, okay? He's our adversary. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He is a lot of things. But this morning, I want to look at one thing that the devil predominantly, and, you know, he's full of pride, obviously. But I'm not necessarily talking about pride, but I'm talking about something this morning that is probably a result of his pride, an action of his pride. I'm going to talk this morning about the devil's quest to be God. The devil's quest to be God. And you think, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, honestly, folks, and then I know this is true in my life, the devil still is trying to get me, and he's trying to get every human to take the position of God in our lives. It's called humanism, okay? And the devil wants us to make decisions for ourselves and not rely on God to make decisions for us and trust God in that. So we're going to talk just a little bit about that this morning. To start out, let me give you just kind of, most of you know all this, but obviously God has always been and he always will be, all right? Eternity past, eternity future. And so God created everything, and we all know that. Well, God created, before the world was, God basically had angels, okay? And you say, well, were the angels always with God? No, I don't know. I mean, what do you know? I mean, we don't know of anything besides what the Bible tells us. But if we go over to, let's go over to Ezekiel chapter number 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. I believe that God created the angels. All right. And I'll show you that here. But before he created the world he lived in, God lives in, or for lack of a better term, what we would refer to as heaven. Now, you know, I don't know. You know, when did God create heaven? I don't know, you know, but obviously he created it. But God has always been. And that's something that the human mind, honestly, my finite mind cannot completely grasp. And if you can completely grasp it, then God wouldn't be God. Okay, so, and I know it's like, well, can you explain that completely? No. But that's where faith comes in a lot of times. But in Ezekiel chapter 28, let's look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee," listen to this, "in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, folks, if you will, take this as being, you know, I know this is talking about the rebuke of the king of Tyre, but this is also symbolic. This is God talking about the devil, okay? And this is God talking about the things that the devil was. Now, I think, and I believe this based upon the Bible, that God, when God created Lucifer, which was the devil's original name, all right, it wasn't Satan, it wasn't the devil, it was Lucifer. And he was, the Bible says he was the son of the morning, or the morning star. He could be called the morning star. He was an angel, if you would, of light. I believe that if you went, we read in Isaiah this morning about his covering, all right, and the different things that he was covered with, the beautiful stones that he was covered with, and I don't know, we don't know what, but the pictures that you see of the devil is not what the devil looked like. The devil was absolutely beautiful. And then honestly, I don't think that's what the devil looks like today. Nobody knows what the devil looks like. Okay? That's just man's imagination. You know, they've taken things from the Bible. They've taken the term serpent, and they've taken the term dragon, and they've developed this thing that they think looks like the devil. But you know, the Bible says that the devil, he's a liar. And you know what liars do? They don't tell the truth, obviously. So they're not going to look, you know, like a scary devil, okay? And if you go to the book of Genesis, where Eve is talking to what? A serpent. She wasn't talking to a devil. She was talking to a serpent. And that serpent was probably one of the most beautiful animals God, a lot of people say it's probably one of the most beautiful animals God created before the curse, before God cursed it. And she was talking to that serpent. All right, so I don't believe that when God created Lucifer that it was, you know, it was ugly or anything like that. Lucifer was a very beautiful thing. There were basically three angels, or that we know of, and Lucifer was one of these three angels. They were called archangels. All right, and most of you know this. I'm just kind of going through this so it gives a clear understanding of what's happening. But Lucifer was one of the archangels. There was Lucifer, there was Michael, and there was Gabriel. Okay? Most of you recognize those three names. All right? And Michael, a lot of people say he was basically more or less in charge of the warrior angels, the fighting angels. Okay? Wherever you see Michael, he's usually in a fight. Okay? He fought over the body of Moses. He fought where the devil was fighting against Michael and his angels. So you see Michael in that regard. You see Gabriel as a messenger angel. You know, Gabriel came down to Mary, and he gave the message to Mary. And different things through the Bible, you see these different angels. Well, I believe that Lucifer, one of the things that Lucifer was, and if you'll think about this, but Lucifer was one of the angels that was in charge of the music in heaven. He was in charge of the music. If you look in, it's back in Isaiah chapter 14. Oh, I won't turn back there. But in Isaiah chapter 14, it talks about the pipes and the tabrets. That was the music. All right? That was the music. And if you think about this, folks, how much of our society and our way of thinking has been perverted by what the devil is so good at? God created him to be a master of music. And so the devil took what he thought God created him to do, and he's taken that and twisted it, and we hear so much music, and the music that you listen to, you got to be careful. Think about it. Is it coming from God, or is it coming from the devil? You think, well, it's got good words to it, but you know what, folks? Words are not music. Words go with music. but words are not music. So you can be listening to what we would say is a contemporary Christian song. Listen. And you say, well, Brother Chad, it's got good words to it. But is the music good? Or are you trying to compromise the words of God with the music of the devil? Or are you completely going off to the far end and you say, I've got the words of the devil and the music of the devil? So you got to be very, very careful about that. So I believe that Lucifer was part, that he was in charge of some of the music. This is interesting. What is Lucifer also called? In one place he's called the prince and the power of the air. The prince and the power of the air. Now, maybe this is just me, and you'll have to get used to this if you're, you know, if I'm going to teach you. But I'm against technology, pretty much, as a whole. And you say, oh, here we go. But I am. I think technology has done more to, you know, go back 100 years when we didn't have the technology that we have today, and see what America was then and what America is now. You know, things that we never would have heard about come into your home every day. It comes into your pocket. Things that you shouldn't see, things that you shouldn't be listening to. It's in your phone. All you got to, you don't have to go. You know, preachers used to preach about going to the movie house, right? Well, you know what? The movie house has come to our house. You don't have to go anywhere to sin like that. It's coming, and you think about that. What does all that go through? What does technology go through? Airwaves. You ever think about that? The prince and the power of the air. You know, I think the devil, and you know, some of you, oh, whatever, Brother Chad, that's silly. Okay, whatever. But I think the devil has a very strong influence. You know, when was the last time you watched TV and there was absolutely, you know, great stuff on TV? You know, even if you're watching a good show, they got junk in between, you know, for all the commercials and stuff. You can't even watch a football game. Listen, folks. You can't even watch a football game without being bombarded by indecency, by bad music, by bad advertisements. That's part of it. And you think, well, I didn't. But you know what? I think the devil, he knows how to work that stuff. He knows how to put stuff in there. So you got to be careful about the prince and the power of the air. So he was known for the music. He was known for, he controlled a lot of the things with the air. I don't know. You know, Brother Klein could tell you, you know, and preachers could tell you, the sound systems, you know, there's weird things that happen with sound systems you can't explain, you know, in a church. And I sometimes wonder if the devil is trying to play with the sound system. Oh, Brother Chad, that's silly. Is it? You can't see it. And the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. All right? So those are just a few things about the devil. All right, but Brother Chad, what were you talking about? His quest to be God. His quest to be God. Basically, in a nutshell, Lucifer has decided at some point that he wants to be equal with God. All right, let's go ahead and go back to Isaiah chapter 14. I want you to see this. This is interesting. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. The Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now listen, I want you to notice how many times personal pronouns are used here. Okay, everybody know what personal pronouns are? I, me, all right, those. For thou hast said in thine heart, verse 13, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend up above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Do you notice how many I's and my's there are in that passage? You know why? Because the devil wanted to be an equal with God. He's sitting there under God. God created him. And he's looking at God and he's like, what? And I think the devil's like, why can't I do what God can do? Why can't I be like God? Well, you know, folks, there's only one God. Okay? And, you know, the Bible, you know, can the pot say to the potter, you know, I'm going to be like the potter? No. It's a pot. And God created Lucifer. So Lucifer had no right at all to say, I want to be like God. I want to make my own decisions. I want the glory of God. Lucifer had no right to say that. Okay? It'd be like me, and it's the exact same thing. Am I a created being of God? Absolutely. I absolutely am. Now, do I have the same powers that the angels have? No, I don't. By no means. But you know what? I'm a child of God. That's something no angel can say. I've got advantages that angels don't have. Okay? So, can I say to God, I want to be like God? I want to make those decisions in my life. No, I have no right to say that. But you know what? Listen, folks, and this is where it's going to get... I'm going to try to teach you something so you recognize it. You know what the devil does? He wants you to be like God. He wants you to be like God. The devil... God cast the devil out of heaven for wanting to be like God. All right? You say, Brother Chad, can you prove that? Yes, I can. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Now listen to this, verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I think it's interesting. The devil was cast out of heaven for trying to be like God. And the very first temptation, he's like, okay, well, I'm cast out of heaven. I can't be like God. God condemned me, basically. So I'm going to go to God's creation, the next thing that God created, His crown, His joy, the human race. I'm going to go to them. I can't defeat God. But if I can defeat God's creation, you know, listen, folks, the devil hates you. The devil hates you. And so if God can get you to want to be like a God, He's getting back at the true God. Does that make sense? All right? So the devil goes to Adam and Eve, or to Eve, and he says, Hey, if you eat this, you can be like a God, knowing good and evil. Knowing good and evil. Now listen to that. Knowing good and evil. What is part of being God? What is a part of being God? Knowing good and evil. And so when the devil comes to you, when the devil comes to me in my life, and he says, Hey, you just need to do what you think is right. Does that sound familiar? You just need to do what you feel is right. Hey, I've done that before. I've done that before. I've been presented with a situation and I just felt like, well, I just need to do what's right. I just need to do what feels good. What I feel like there's, you know, I don't, you know, especially, you know, financially. Sometimes it's just like, what's good for me? You know, I'm looking at what is good for Brother Chad? What is good for me in this situation? And you know what? A lot of times, you know who that is? It's the devil. He's not saying what is good for you to do for God. What is good for your situation? You know what the devil comes to you? He says, Hey, you know, it's not good for you to give 10% of your income to God. That's not good for your financials. You know, that does not make sense to give 10% of your income to God. That's the devil talking to you. Because you know what you're thinking? Well, how does this benefit? That doesn't, 10% doesn't benefit me. If I give it away, that 10% doesn't benefit me. And you know what that is? You're trying to decide what's good and what's evil. You're trying to be, in this instance, you're trying to be like a God. I'm trying to be like a God. I'm trying to decide what's good or right in my life instead of looking to God and asking God what's good or wrong in my life. Okay? So, the devil came to Eve and he said, You can be like a God. And you can know good and evil. You can know the difference between it. And you can decide what's good and evil. Hey, you know, folks, listen. You know the things that we're fighting in America today is because people want to decide what's good and what's not good. they say, well, I can live in fornication, or I can live in adultery. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Based on who? Who said? Well, I just don't feel like there's anything wrong with it. You know what, folks? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean, but you've been deceived. The devil has deceived you at that point. He said, listen, you can be like a god. You can decide what's good and not good. You can decide what's right and what's wrong. And you know what? At that point, who's to say what's to stop you? What's to stop you from deciding what's right or wrong? Well, I just feel like that was the right thing to do. Whether it was the right thing to do or not. Okay? So you've got to be very, very careful about the devil trying to get you to decide what's right and wrong. Satan was cast out of heaven, and then he tries to get God's other creations to aspire to be like God. Remember Judges? Remember what the Bible said in Judges? That every man did that which was right. Where? In the eyes of God? No. In his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you know why they did that which was right in their own eyes? Because the devil deceived them. They thought, well, I'll just do what I think is right. No. It's not up to you to do what you think is right. It's up to you to do what God thinks is right. Okay? Because otherwise you're trying to be like God. The other thing, are you still in Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 14. Probably in Genesis. But in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 13, if you'll notice, it said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. Satan, Lucifer, one of the things in his aspiration to be like God, Satan wanted the glory that was due only to God. The glory that was due only to God. You know, Pastor Ross said all the time, you know, the most dangerous place to be is between God and his glory. You know, the things that we do in life, the things that I'm accomplished in life, are not because of who I am. All right? It's because of the grace of God. It's not because of, well, really, Chad, it's not because of my parents. Now, they've had more to do with it than I have. But ultimately, you know who has to do with it? Is God. And I need to give praise and glory to God. And you know what? The devil sometimes comes to you and he says, hey, you know, you can be like a God. You can be like a God. Hey, that was a really good thing you did. That was a really good thing you did. You could be like God. You say, that doesn't happen. It does. It does. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I love this story. I guess it's kind of got a weird mind, but I really do. I like this story. Verse number 20, Acts chapter 12, verse number 20. The Bible says, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. So you've got a man that, for whatever circumstances are, he decides he's going to make a speech. And, you know, I can just see Herod, you know. He's got, I don't know if they had advisors like they do today, but, you know, he's got somebody writing his speech for him. Because everybody knows most politicians really don't come up with what they say anyway. So, you know, he's got somebody writing his speech for him, and he gets this big, long, you know, flowing speech. They spent hours in the dictionary, you know, trying to find synonyms for, you know, instead of saying real simple words, they, you know, really made it complex. And he gets this speech, and he's like, man, this is a great speech. He's like, this is wonderful. So he gets up, and he does a great job. I mean, he just, fantastic job. His voice is strong that day. He's just out speaking real strong. So he gets done with his oration, all right, his speech. And the people gave a shout, verse 22, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. They're like, oh my goodness, what a speech, that is wonderful. He must be like God to make such a speech like that. And he's, you know, and it wasn't the statement that they made really that did it, because we'll see it later that's not the case. But you know, I think Herod thought, you know, just might be like God. Who said that to him? Who put that thought in his mind? Did he just come up with that himself? I could be like a God. No. What do we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5? And ye shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. So who put that thought in his mind? The devil did. The devil put that thought in his mind. So, verse number 22, the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, there goes my imagination. All right? I don't know what happened, you know, but in my mind, okay, sorry if this grosses you out. I've seen a lot of maggots. I deal with dead animals doing livestock stuff. I mean, you just got dead animals. And you know, you pick up you go to pick up an animal that's been dead, you know, especially pigs. Pigs are really bad about it. They rot really fast. But you go to drag one out of the pen, and you go to hook your hay hook in it to drag it out. And you look at it, you kind of take a second glance, and the whole thing moves. It's dead, but it's moving. All right? And all it is maggots. The whole thing is maggots. All right? Sorry, I didn't mean to gross you out. But you know what? I'm kind of thinking this is like Herod. You know, he's standing up there, yeah, I'm kind of like God. The Bible says immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. All right? And he was eaten. Now look at this, the sequence here. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now it doesn't say he gave up the ghost and was eaten of worms, because that will happen to me one day. I'll give up the ghost and I'll be eaten of worms. Okay? I got a poem I could say, but I'm not going to say it right now. My dad gave me that poem when I was really young. At my grandpa's funeral, actually. It was actually pretty funny. But I won't say that tonight. Today. It's kind of gross. But I'll be eating worms, okay? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. I think all of a sudden the angel of the Lord just smote him, and worms just started. I don't know if he had worms inside of him, but he was literally eaten alive by worms. And the Bible says immediately. So I think all of a sudden, Herod's clothes start moving, and worms start just coming out everywhere. You know, out of his mouth, and, you know, ears, and nose, and the Bible says he gave up the ghost. All right? Sorry, that's my children's church. I'm kind of going into children's church mode there. All right? Because they love that stuff. You know, oh! All right? But, you know, that's what the Bible says. Why? Back to the Bible. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. Because he listened to the devil. Okay? Now, folks, it's easy to do. It's easy to do. The world is constantly, constantly telling you, just do what feels good. Just do what feels right. And you know what? Every one of us likes to get some praise. That's human nature. We like people saying, hey, you did a good job. That was great. Every one of us like to do that. But you know what? All that praise goes to God. It doesn't belong to us. We're just a tool. You know, I don't go to my saw when I get done using it and say, man, you did a really good job today. No, it's a tool. It's a tool in the hands of somebody that knows how to use it. Okay? And then, you know, folks, that's what I am. I'm just a tool. There's no reason that somebody should, you know, pat me on the back. I'm just a tool. All right? So what are the two things we need to learn today, Brother Chad? Well, one, I think you need to realize that it is not up to you to decide what is right and wrong. It's not. That only belongs to God. So before you think, well, I don't see anything wrong with it, that's a problem, because you're looking at it through your eyes. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that music. I don't see anything wrong with that TV show. I don't see anything wrong with that clothing. I don't see. That's your problem. Because you're not supposed to see. You're supposed to look through the eyes of God and say, Does God see anything wrong with that? Does God see anything wrong with this? Does God see anything wrong with what I'm doing, wrong with what I'm saying? Because otherwise, you're trying to be like God, which is exactly what the devil wants you to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we had together. Lord, I pray that you just bless the morning service, bless these fine folks, and I pray that you just help us today. In Jesus' name, amen.